Chapter 8, The Transparent Column. Charles Wallace sat there tucking away turkey and dressing as though it were the most delicious thing he had ever tasted. He was dressed like Charles Wallace. He looked like Charles Wallace. He had the same sandy brown hair, the same face that had not yet lost its baby roundness. Only the eyes were different, for the black was still swallowed up in blue. But it was far more than this that made Meg feel that Charles Wallace was gone, that the little boy in his place was only a copy of Charles Wallace, only a doll. She fought down a sob. "Where is he?" she demanded of the man with red eyes. "What have you done with him? Where is Charles Wallace?" "But, my dear child, you are hysterical," the man thought at her. "He is right there before you, well and happy. Completely well and happy, for the first time in his life. And he is finishing his dinner, which you also would be wise to do."
"You know it isn't Charles," Meg shouted. "You've got him somehow."
"Hush, Meg, there's no use trying to talk to him," Calvin said, speaking in a low voice into her ear. "What we have to do is hold Charles Wallace tight. He's there, somewhere, underneath. And we mustn't let them take him away from us. Help me hold him, Meg. Don't lose control of yourself, not now. You've got to help me hold Charles." He took the little boy firmly by one arm. Fighting down her hysteria, Meg took Charles's other arm and held it tightly.
"You're hurting me, Meg," Charles said sharply. "Let me go."
"No," Meg said grimly. "We've been all wrong." Charles Wallace's voice, Meg thought, might have been a recording. There was a canned quality to it. "He isn't an enemy at all. He's our friend."
"Nuts," Calvin said rudely.
"You don't understand, Calvin," Charles Wallace said. "Mrs. What's-it, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Which have confused us. They're the ones who are really our enemies. We never should have trusted them for a minute." He spoke in his calmest, most reasonable voice, the voice which infuriated the twins. He seemed to be looking directly at Calvin as he spoke, and yet Meg was sure that the bland blue eyes could not see, and that someone, something else, was looking at Calvin through Charles. Now the cold, strange eyes turned to her. "Meg, let go. I will explain it all to you, but you must let go."
"No!"
Meg gritted her teeth. She did not release her grasp, and Charles Wallace began to pull away with a power that was not his own, and her own spindly strength was no match against it.
"Calvin!"
she gasped as Charles Wallace wrenched his arm from her and stood up. Calvin the athlete, Calvin the boy who split firewood and brought it in for his mother, whose muscles were strong and controlled, let go Charles Wallace's wrist and tackled him as though he were a football. Meg, in her panic and rage, darted at the man on the chair, intending to hit him as Charles Wallace had done. But the black-smocked men were too quick for her, and one of them held her with her arms pinioned behind her back.